Bulletproof Radio, a state of high performance.
You're listening to Bulletproof Radio with Dave Asprey.
Everyone's talking about red light therapy beds, and for good reason. There's a company called ARRC LED that's building an entirely new class of LED devices. ARRC LED beds integrate proprietary scanning technology and frequency protocols to shape the delivery of six different wavelengths in dose-optimized photobiomodulation. Yes, that's a lot of words. What it is, though, is that photobiomodulation improves the underlying energetics of the cells in your body. And those changes can benefit nearly every tissue and organ and system in your body. You change your cells and you change your life. For more information, visit ARRCLED.com. Hey there, ice bath lovers. Do you want to take your cold exposure game up a notch with some contrast therapy? Well, you should, because cold plunges and contrast therapy can lower stress, up your immunity, and even help you sleep better. It works better than just cold therapy alone. Well, now you can do that with the new Michael Phelps Chili Goat Cold Tubs by Master Spas. Whether you want to relax in a hot soak or get energized with a cold plunge, the Michael Phelps Chili Goat Cold Tub has you covered. You can easily hop out of the hot water, get in the cold water, and go back and forth. When you do that, you get better results in less time, and that's what biohacking is all about. Go to chiligoattubs.com, use promo code DAVE500, and you can save $500 on any Chili Goat cold tub. I have one in my backyard. That's chiligoattubs.com, promo code DAVE500.
Today's cool fact of the day is that the act of breathing is something that most of us take for granted, but the truth is that breathing is a unique biological function because it's the only one you have, unless you're really well-trained, that's both voluntary and involuntary. That means that you don't have to think about breathing. It'll always happen automatically, but you can take a deep breath, you can hold it, you can speed it up, you can slow it down. So that's one of the things that, as someone who might want to control your own performance or just hack your own biology so you have more control and you can do more of the things you want to do, breathing is probably the easiest thing to do. It turns out you can control your temperature, you can control your heartbeat, you can control the electrical conductivity of your skin, all sorts of things if you learn. But breathing, we all know, but we probably don't know all the different things you can do with it.
Quick question for you. What makes you feel more invigorated, less stressed, and more in control of your body? The answer, more energy. Specifically, more quantum energy, because our bodies are quantum systems. Leela Quantum Tech has figured out a way to harness quantum energy so you can reach a state of vibrancy that you've probably never felt. Dozens of studies show that Leela Q's products neutralize the effects of harmful EMFs around us and even release positive energy that can improve your blood flow, optimize your heart rate, and other benefits. Leela Q has some heavy science backing it up. A recent study looked at people who use Leela Q for just 10 minutes. The study used a special blood illumination technique called dark field microscopy, and it showed significant protective and improvement effects on blood flow. So take a quantum leap into higher vibration at LeelaQ.com/Dave and claim your exclusive 10% discount.
Today's guest is none other than Jay Abraham. If you're interested in business, you might have heard of him. Forbes calls Jay Abraham one of the top five executive coaches in the entire US. He's been doing this for 25 plus years. He's increased the bottom line of over 10,000 clients in 400 industries with 7,200 sub-industries. And this guy has solved just about every kind of sales, marketing, competitive edge question that you could think of. He's on stage regularly with Tony Robbins. In fact, I think he's the only guy who spends an entire day every year with Tony Robbins' Platinum Group. Tony's Platinum Group spends, it's like $75,000 or $100,000, a very large amount of money every year to get quality time with Jay and his inner circle of, not with Jay, with Tony and his inner circle of advisors. And Jay is one of those advisors who really helps these people. And speaking of Tony Robbins, I just got to say thanks. I got an invitation the other day from Tony to speak on stage for the first time in front of thousands and thousands of people at the Unleash Your Power Within conference in Los Angeles in, that's March, April? Where are we in March? We're in March. in March of this year of 2017. So if you are in LA or you're going to be in LA, then that is an event you don't want to miss. That's the Tony's new event. Jay, are you going to be there too at this event?
I am going to be there for part of it.
For part of it. Okay, so Jay and I will both be there. If you're into internet marketing or marketing in general, you've probably seen one of Jay's books because he's a prolific author. He has all kinds of programs. And here's why Jay's on the show. You may be interested in business, and some portion of Bulletproof listeners are. We have a lot of people who are physicians. We have a lot of people who have careers all over the place. We have police officers, the head of the counterterrorism unit down at the LA County Sheriff's Department just said hi in the coffee shops. Like people from all walks of life who may or may not give a rat's ass about business. But Jay is a high performer on many levels. And I know Jay really well because we're friends. And we got to be friends. Starting years ago, I bought one of Jay's $500 books that couldn't possibly be worth $500, except it was worth more than that. And I read this book and was like, I can't believe I got scammed. I spent $500 on a book. I'm probably going to send it back. It has a money back guarantee. And I read it and was like, oh my God, like this guy has knowledge and it's very distilled. And I figured there was no chance I'll ever like meet this kind of business rock star guy. And lo and behold, years later, I got a chance to meet him and we got to be friends. And Jay has spoken to every employee at Bulletproof. He actually came in and did a strategy session with us. And he's helped to advise me on how to grow Bulletproof and how to have a service company where our mindset is we're having a fiduciary responsibility where our job is to do the right thing for our viewers and our customers. Even if it's not the path that makes us the most money, or even if it's the path that makes us no money, our responsibility ethically and morally and for the greater good of the business is to tell you, you know what, don't drink Bulletproof coffee. It's not right for you if that's the case for you, rather than to say, oh no, just drink it anyway. So Jay's thinking there has helped to help me have a level of excellence that I'm working to spread throughout the company. So Jay, first, thank you for being on the show and thank you for all of your advice.
Come on, Dave. Thank you for the invitation. It's an honor.
Now, I want to ask you all sorts of things. And one of the things that I think everyone listening will care about is what do you do to be a super high performer? You've been doing this crazy life. You travel around. You're in Japan a lot. You're all over the planet. I think you fly maybe more than I do in terms of miles, certainly frequency, but you go overseas more than I do. So
I do.
And you're a little older than I am. You don't really look it too much, but you've got...
It's all a facade. It's the portrait of Dorian Gray.
Yeah, you've got more than 20 years on me, and you look great, and you're,
thank you.
You're strong, and your mind is strong too, which is cool. How do you do these crazy overseas trips and still come back and like look and feel good? Because it's harder when you're older. What's your trick?
Well, the trick is not a trick. It's an attitude. I am hopelessly and infinitely interested in truthfully all humanity. So it's always fascinating to me to interact with people on a worldwide basis. Last year, I think we did Italy twice, we did London twice, we did Paris, we did Ireland, we did Vietnam, we did Bangkok, we did Tokyo. I think I did China also. And what you find is that everyone thinks everyone's different, and they're not. There's this core of people that want to be true value creators. There's a core of people that want to have passion, not just about what they do, but who they do it for. And they just need clarity to guide them and connect the dots. And yet almost everybody worldwide has got the same problems, the same issues, surprisingly many of the same businesses, and they're very fascinating human beings. And I get a big kick out of learning, out of sharing, out of borrowing. And my background, if you ask how I do it, I love to learn. I love to see all the different ways different people see life, all the different values different people really represent, because that's the totality of the marketplace we are dealing with, whether it's the people we're selling to or the people we're hiring. And I love humanity, and I get tired from the trips because I do very intensive and expensive very, very non-structured activities that are predicated on the real understanding of the situation. They are very mentally exhausted, but they're very intellectually, like your cerebral fitness grows because you learn, and it's just very wonderful. I don't know if that's a good answer.
I think I heard like three things in there. You have a sense of curiosity that, and just knowing you as your friend, you're curious about everything. Like relentless curiosity. It sounds like variety is something that keeps your brain going, and there's good studies about that, right? And I'm distilling this from there, but maybe the fact that you see what you do as an act of service, like you're helping the people you go to.
I want to take you on the road with me anytime I do an interview, and you'll say what he means to say is.
Well, I mean, it's a good answer, but I'm looking for the pattern.
No,
listening. Well, right?
See, I think it's probably worthy to share what accounts for my uniqueness, because it's something that anybody can avail themselves of if they're willing. And it's quite liberating and intoxicating, animating, and it's a wonderful elevator to your performance capability. I spent a life traveling from one industry to another, to another, to another. And when you get a chance to travel outside of a singular industry, you see that each industry has a precept, and it's like the follow the herd. They all have a certain way of thinking. They all have a certain way of doing. They have a certain way of selling. They have certain attitudes and distribution models, and plus or minus 20%, they're all about the better, a little better, a little worse. But when you see that there are thousands of different ways to strategically operate, there are thousands of different distribution models, there are thousands of different competitive advantages, there are thousands of different ways to add value, there are thousands of ways to access markets, you realize that most people accept unintentionally, unnecessarily, unknowingly, a fraction of the sales, the clients they could be generating, a fraction of the transactional size they could be doing, a fraction of the repeat business, referral business, and ancillary business, because they just don't know how much more is possible from a day, a moment, a time, an interaction, access, investment, capital, human capital. And I've been blessed. I get to see all that. It's a long answer, but that's really the quintessence of what drives me.
Well, so that's how you're driven in general. And now, what I see is that I'll get a call from you, and you're like in God knows where, right? And I don't get a lot of calls that aren't scheduled, just because my days are crazily booked. But you still get through. Which is kind of
which
cool.
I'm honored. Thank you.
No, it's not that. It's just that most people have learned that if they call me, I never answer. But the fact that I don't answer half your calls, you still call just because you're patient. Yeah. But what's cool though is you're all over the world, but you're always full of energy. And I know that you do things to take care of yourself physically, not just a sense of curiosity. Like, how do you handle jet lag? Like, what do you do when you take a red eye and you're going to go on stage for Tony or someone? And mm-hmm. What's your resilience strategy?
Well, it's probably not going to be as sophisticated as yours, but I'm very lucky because I get to fly on any airline I want, and I like very indulgent ones that usually have very nice wines and spirits. So I enjoy a little bit of that.
So you actually drink in the air?
I do, but not heavily anymore.
But still, I drink anything in the air. I get taken out by that. Okay, so you are... you're tough.
Not a lot. I like, you know, I like a little bit. But when I land, I have a regimen. They stock my room with about three cases of all kinds of water. I basically don't eat anything for the first day. I have a contractual, and this is going to sound very indulgent, but I have a contractual provision that I get 5 hours a night with two concurrent massage therapist. So I get the equivalent of 10 hours of massage every night.
And this is to be clear, you're actually getting massage. So people are rolling their eyes right now.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not having kinky. You know, no. I get I get the most professional. No,
I know you're a married services. You're a married guy, and this is all above board. But the human touch and the massage is part of your recovery.
Well, I find two things. I am paid to be really elevated in my understanding, my connection, my attention, my empathic perception, and I relax on a table and I can think very clearly because there's nowhere else to go. And I believe in my delusionary belief that, you know, getting all the cells opened up and the blood vessels flowing and all the, you know, the areas doing what they're supposed to do is very healthy. And I've, you know, everywhere I've ever traveled when I've spoken, I've had every night, you know, sometimes I'm too tired and I only take 3 hours, but it's just part of my contract. But I also get acupuncture. I have a lot of regimens that I do, and I don't really eat except if it's thrust upon me, anything fried or sweet. I don't like anything fried, and I like very little sweet unless I'm drinking red wine, and then chocolate's good. But I'm very, you know, I drink a lot of water. I drink little alcohol when I'm working, and I honestly get lots of body work.
So here's an interesting question. When I get a massage, I usually go into some altered state after a little while. Like I'm not really asleep, but I'm in a really deep theta state where I'm sort of dreamy and groggy and not really present. Are you sleeping during these 5 hours of massage, or like in an altered state? Are you just kind of laying there, just like getting all the body work done and fully awake the whole time and thinking?
It's an integration of the first two.
Okay.
It's very relaxing because my mind has never learned how to turn off in most endeavors. But what happens is all these thoughts you've commanded to the recesses of your subconscious converge, and your mind works for you the way it's supposed to. It collaborates, it combines, it integrates, it produces all these actually remarkable breakthrough concepts when you're not trying to withhold them or suppress them. I get the best breakthrough clarity when I'm either lying. I mean, when I get acupuncture, I refuse to do an hour. It's too little. I do at least 2 hours. I used to have a guy that would come for one full day a month, and I would just sit there and roll and roll and roll and roll and take notes of everything that came out of my reflection, because you're forced. I don't know about you, but I'm running so fast, so often, that some of the best things I want to remember and preserve don't get really acted upon or even dimensionalized because something else happens. And when you're in an environment where it's forced, concentrated, creative reflection, it's very intoxicating and liberating and clarifying. I don't know if that's a good answer.
It's fantastic. I think I understand what you're saying there. You're doing a lot of self-care in order to operate at that level. You also do some work with Dr. Barry, a guy you introduced me to. You'll be
Absolutely.
Talking about that?
Yeah, sure. I don't mind. I do lots of things. I mean, now you can get stem cells. I used to get frozen sheep embryo flown in from Switzerland, and I would do 7-8 injections a month. I get IVs all the time for brain and for other things, but Dr. Barry is remarkable. Most people don't understand that there are levels of, I don't want to use the word power and sound mystical, but levels of energy that transcend anything you could get from a Red Bull or a, nothing wrong with, you know, if you like Red Bull, but this man's masterful at using energy to propel the capacity in your brain, your cellular structure, your intellect, your perceptivity. He's done some of the most famous people in the world. He does Tony Robbins. He does very famous iconic families. He does very famous sports figures. And explaining what he does is hard, but the result of what he does is, and I'm very... I used to go to Australia 30 years ago, and Australia, for some reason, was a crucible of sort of developmental of a lot of alternative issues, I think, before they made it here. And I would get introduced to all kinds of things 20 years before they would come here. And I was very open-minded because they had a positive impact.
So you introduced me to Dr. Barry. His name is Barry Morguelan. And this guy, he's a UCLA surgeon from Tennessee. And he's one of 12.
So Cincinnati, I think, or Kentucky.
I get Kentucky and Tennessee mixed up in my head. Sorry.
One or two states.
Yeah, Kentucky. Correct. And he's the last thing you'd imagine one of 12 living grandmasters of a very ancient Chinese lineage of energy medicine would look like. But he went and trained with a group of people or a lineage that is the precursor to Shaolin and some of the shamanic practices, very ancient. And these are the people who would protect the emperor of China. They'd protect him energetically and went through the training on how to melt a glacier by sitting on it, you know, the sort of stuff that Wim Hof does, but on a mountain in China, a day's hike away from anything. And just these incredible stories. And this humble guy who doesn't look at all like that can do things. And people who follow me on social media, you've seen like weird cupping things, like he does stuff. But he's a very credible surgeon who trains doctors all over the world how to do endoscopic GI surgery and this. Right. So I know that you get work done by him, and I rolled my eyes when you introduced me to him. I said, well, he doesn't really look the part. And then I experienced what he could do, and it was like, okay, there's absolute noticeable differences that are not subtle in what he does. And he actually wrote the meditation for mitochondria for Headstrong, the new book. Because I mean, I don't know anyone with his breadth of power and knowledge on this stuff, because it's medical and it's, well, I'll just put it on the other M word, it's mystical, that sort of stuff. But
you know, my belief, and it's very interesting, if you look in history at people who one would say is a force of nature, I would argue that they were not as much that as they were people who learned how to harness and command forces within nature to their, to their directives. Mm-hmm. But that's just my perspective.
It sounds like an accurate one. He's the kind of guy who can walk into a park and all the dogs will walk up to him if he wants them to.
Or they'll go away. He comes to my house and says, go upstairs, and they all go upstairs.
it's powerful. And the reason I'm bringing this up is you're a very well-known business guru. And someone who's performed at a level that's pretty unusual for consistently decades. And I'm doing okay. And we both do stuff like that. And we're not alone, even though a lot of people won't go out there and talk about that stuff. And I believe that when you integrate the low-level stuff where our bodies are integrated with the environment around us, this mitochondrial connection to the world, and this cognitive thing that you and I both also do, that when you get everything working together, it seems like the system has a lot more power. And I'm kind of blown away. But it's cool, A, that you introduced me to him, and also that you're willing to talk publicly about the fact that, you know, you do things like acupuncture and massage and body work and, yes, Chinese energetic medicine because they help you. How do you know they help you, though?
Okay. Well, let's put it this way. I didn't get ill for 8 years in a row when I did one regimen. I can tell you that I've had Barry work on me when I was exhausted and walked out of the room so radiant that I went for 12 hours nonstop. He works on Tony every night when Tony does his programs, and Tony's pretty, you know, he's pretty elevated in the methodology.
He glows when he walks. I mean, he's so bouncing with energy. It's amazing.
Let me try to be very precise. I'm, and you are too, I think, I'm very aware, I think, of myself. I've been disciplined to try to understand what's going on in a conversation, in an action, interaction. So I'm very aware when my performance my brain power. I've been very blessed because I have a very broad context of understanding, but I can tell when it's been elevated to, to a much more stratospheric level. And all these elements I'm telling you about, they have elevated my intellectual performance coupled with my energy, coupled with my concentration, coupled with my they've even helped my authenticity, meaning the connection I'm able to make with others. I mean, I can't tell other people to do it, but I can tell you that if you take my work, which is all about optimization, highest and best use of, well, in the business arena, everything you do, everyone you do it with, everything you spend, everybody, every opportunity you have, and you translate it to your work, why would you want to live a life suboptimally if you have within your reach the way to make every day, more vibrant, more vital, more mentally alive, more observant, more perceptive, more sensory impactful? It just makes no sense to me.
I like that answer. And it comes down to awareness, right? Like I was paying attention to how I felt and how I performed, and I noticed the difference. And that's
a sustaining difference.
Yeah.
And a compounding positive difference.
And one of the problems that I had was learning to trust my own perceptions, because the last thing we want to do is be fooled by some placebo effect or something like that.
I agree.
How do you know when you're getting a placebo effect versus something is real?
I think the answer is twofold. If you do it once, you may not. But if you do it enough repetitive times, you can tell. I mean, it's empirical. It's not anecdotal. You're either going to feel like crap, you're going to feel moot, or you're going to feel great. Don't you think?
It's amazing. You ask someone, "How do I feel?" Well, either you know how you feel or you don't. And if you feel really good and you didn't before, that's a useful data point.
But most people don't know.
I think you're right. They haven't learned to cultivate the awareness of, like, on a scale of 1 to 100, where am I right now? And it's a powerful thing to just note when there's a big fluctuation and figure out what might that have been. Could it have been the acupuncture? I went in, I felt like crap, I went out, and either I felt really weird or I felt much better. But to say it had no effect would be probably not matching the reality.
Well, I would say two things. I get acupuncture 3 times a week for 2 hours when I'm home.
Wow.
And I also, if you'll notice my ear, I didn't cut myself when I leave. Can you see?
Yeah, I think we see that on the camera. You guys can look
at this. It looks like little Band-Aids. They all have needles in them.
So go to bulletproof.com/YouTube to see this on the YouTube channel.
See my ears? Yeah. So, but I get them when I leave. I have them put long-lasting adhesive needles on all the major impact points. Mm-hmm. And it has a sustaining event. I believe, because I've gauged my performance with and without it. So, but I think most people, I'm going to tell you one funny story. Well, too, I could tell you a breathing story that lost me $3 million, but you may not want to hear that, but I'll tell you, first of all, you talked about people not knowing how they feel. There's a patronizing, I think most people are so out of touch with their lives and what's going on. You'll say to somebody, "How you feel?" "Great." Somebody will say it to me, and I know they don't listen. And I'll say, "Geez, my arm hurts. I got a real bad guy." And I'll say a bunch of negative things just to see if they even hear. And they say, "Oh, great."
Yeah, they're not listening.
And there's a tragedy there, not for them disrespecting me, but for them disrespecting themselves, because they're not in touch. So that's just a comment.
I noticed something. When I moved to Canada, that shocked me when I first came here. If you go to the convenience store here and the cashier says, "How are you doing?" At least half the time they're going to hear your answer. And if you said, "Oh, it's been a crappy day," they'd be like, "Oh, wow, tell me about it." And I feel like when I'm in New York or a big city, not to pick on New York, it's the same in LA, they're probably not going to ask. And if they do, you could basically say there's aliens invading and they wouldn't hear what you had to say. Like, there was, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because it's dark and cold up here, so people are bored. Whatever it is, I noticed it, and it kind of freaked me out at first. Like, wow, like the people are listening. I should be more aware of what I say.
But geez, isn't that kind of connectivity wonderful?
Oh, it's great.
You feel so much closer and meaningful, and it can transform. I mean, I may have told you this. We have a regiment that, and this is one more thing, it's delightful. When I go to Asia, not as much Latin America, but it's a lot of people in Asia have very dour, non-evocative emotion. And we have, excuse me, I'm on a runway, so you'll hear planes all the time. We have a protocol. If I take anybody with me, if not, it's I. So first day I hydrate. The next day I go to the bar or the lobby and I sit for 4 hours and smile at people till they smile back. Then I ride the elevator for 2 hours and do the same in the elevator. Then I get off
for
on every
floor. 2 hours?
Yeah, really? It's glorious fun, glorious fun. And then I get off on every floor and I engage very briefly all the housekeepers and the service people because they get acknowledged. Most of us don't acknowledge one another. Very sad. But it's great fun. And that inspires me. I get great joy out of it. It's like a recycling of energy.
So when you fly to Japan or to China, you'll go do this. I did not know that, Jay.
Where I go in Asia, I do it. In China, Japan, Vietnam, Malaysia, Singapore. Yeah. Great fun. And it brings, when you see somebody smile and you see their, I mean, same thing. Their body language changes. Their eyes start going from tepid to sparkly. There's a transformative little aura about them because they felt a little bit better about themselves. If you engage them a little bit, and it's very fun to try to engage somebody that doesn't speak English and still be interested and empathic. It's a wonderful exercise. It's very tragic. More people don't allow themselves to do it because you are the beneficiary more than the people that you give to.
Wow, I did not know that about you.
I do it every time I go anywhere.
It's true that you're very giving that way. Like I remember the first time we met, I think you came to the coffee shop opening or we had lunch somewhere, you and your wife and I, and I spilled my Bulletproof coffee because my mug malfunctioned, and you were just laughing. I was like, "Oh man, like I can't believe I did that." But yeah, you're just very fun and open that way. And some business gurus aren't that way. Like they're
some.
A little bit wooden.
Some.
it's probably most, to be perfectly honest. I mean, I know a bunch of really good people in the field, and I wouldn't want to disparage them inadvertently.
Oh, there's wonderful people, but I think that we lose track in our lives of humility and humanity. And if you can really keep yourself focused on our relevancy and irrelevancy, it's very wonderful because, you know, everybody has value and worth and everyone has a perspective, and whether you like them or not, one of the things I learned earlier in my life was to very carefully try to examine, evaluate, understand, explore, respect, and appreciate how other people see life, because that's their reality. Can't change their reality till you embrace them on their value system.
That's a really good point, Jay. Now, where did you learn all this stuff? Like who taught you to be this way?
I have been blessed all my life since I got married when I was 18 the first time, and most of my earlier career, I have no education, was predicated with crazy entrepreneurs who wouldn't pay me anything, but they would give me a chance to do anything I wanted for a percentage of whatever I created. And I went through a broad array of just very diverse and disparate industries, activities. And as I got a little older, I was very fascinating to people because I was curious, and you know, I would sit in people's offices for hours just watching them do business as a fly on the wall. And I got very lucky. I was either attracted to or attracted to entrepreneurs who had as their default driver either the filling of a void that existed in an industry or a niche, or the adding of value and dimension to a product or service that was already there. And so when we would engage in discussion, because I always wanted to know, well, what's driving you? How are you doing it? Why are you doing it? What's different about you? I ask a lot of questions and I listen very carefully to the answers and I think about them. And a lot of times people have never been asked those questions. So the first time somebody expounds, discusses, responds, it's profound because it's coming from the depths of their passion level. And I was very blessed. I was never afraid to ask very penetrating questions that no one else would think relevant and listen and to the most part retain. And then after doing it for years and years in industries and industries, you get this outrageous composite of aggregate understanding, perspective, awareness, admiration, as opposed to contempt for all the different strives and issues or perceived issues people will grapple with. Very interesting.
I'll say. I remember I went to Dan Pena's 70th birthday party at Guthrie Castle in Scotland. And Dan's been a guest on Bulletproof Radio. He spoke at I think the third conference that we had. They call him the $50 billion man. And Brian Rose from London Real, who's a friend and a Bulletproof supporter. Brian and I went together, rented kilts, and he kind of connected me to this group. And there were some really strong business luminaries, like people who've had their entire career in marketing. And this is a stereotypical Castle, Jay. You'd probably recognize it from like in the 80s when I was a teenager, like the success poster in your bedroom was like the Scottish Castle with the Bentley,
Malcolm Forbes,
Lamborghini,
all that, sure.
Helicopter. Well, except that's actually where he lives. Like he literally has the row of sports cars out front and like it's classical success. And you go there, but as people are giving speeches, Jay, and you weren't there, so you probably don't even know this, four different times your name came up in people's speeches about Dan. Right?
Really?
And just about, yeah, absolutely. Like people were talking about like your business owners, people who made a difference. So like you've done this for so long. It was pretty interesting. And three of the times it was actually positive. No, I'm just kidding. They're all positive. They're all positive.
You know, I've been around doing this a long time in a lot of places, and you look back on a career and you're very fascinated the impact that you can make if your intention's right and if you really really try to be more than intellectual entertainment.
What's the best piece of advice you ever received?
Probably, if you want to be interesting, be interested, that most people don't know how to listen and hear, that you want to put yourself into environments very uncomfortable, well above your comfort, intellectual, experiential, or earning mode, and force yourself to grow, that growth and development of spirit, body, mind, knowledge, humanity is the key to all richness in life. I could go on and on, but those are a few.
Well, who told you these things?
I've been so blessed. When I started, we started off and I had a really hilarious, I would knock on people. This is a fun story. When I started off, I had nothing going for me. So I had a business card made that was that big and it said UC Sales. And I would go to all these offices in Indianapolis and they used to have this little glass window where the reception was and this little hole where they could talk and you could stick your card through. And I'd go and I'd want to see Mr. Asprey. And they'd say, well, do you have an appointment? And I'd say, no. And they'd say, well, who are you with? And I'd look like that. And I'd say, no one. And they'd look bizarre. And they'd say, well, do you have a card? And I'd say, yes. And I'd get this card. And of course, it wouldn't reach through the window.
And
they'd have to take it back to you. And maybe one out of 100 failed to get me an appointment. And my spiel then was J. Abraham Young, up and coming Jewish boy from the Midwest, trying to get ahead in an ever so competitive world while suffering the most acutely inflamed sinus condition of my life. And everyone laughed. And then I would end up and they would stay for hours telling me about their business. And I asked good questions. And it was very interesting because if we couldn't do business together, I would get educated and go somewhere else in the same industry. And now I could talk authoritatively. I've always been outrageously, curiosity is not the right word, but manipulative isn't either. I've been genuinely obsessed with learning how businesses operate, their psyche, their drivers, their nuances, and my background gave me a lot of that because I did, it's interesting, in the course, besides doing 300 or 400 of the top experts that didn't come to me for help with their methodology, but I had to learn it in order to elevate it or dimensionalize it or monetize it. But I also did the Deming organization that was the the father of optimization and process improvement. I did Qualpro that was at one time, I don't know if they still are, the largest multivariable testing organization in the world. And I got to look at billions of dollars of variability tests. I did Decision Quest, the largest strategic litigation consulting firm in the world, and got to look at all the different issues on venue and juries and how differently with graphics you can depict suffering and pain or minimize it. And I got a very interesting an unimaginable education in possibilities. And then when you look at hundreds of industries, I don't know how I got to that point. I didn't mean to get you tangential, but it's very interesting.
It's fantastic. The breadth of experience is interesting. And having done business consulting with you and having had you look at Bulletproof and what we're doing, it's definitely clear that the cross-industry knowledge is just a set of information that you've incorporated that I've never come across before.
It's an attribute. It's a bane in a way because it's a combination of experiential, empirical, intuitive, a little bit like probably psychic, a lot of the ability to integrate in a matrix in your mind, but it's not, I can teach you my basics very easily, but the experiential empirical nuance part is not so. That's one of the reasons why I have to charge a lot and work with people at a very high level because I can't duplicate I've trained millions of people in my basic methodology and it will elevate. But if you want to go really deep and maximize and optimize and kick ass, you have to have all these nuances, which are experientially based.
That's actually really cool.
Well, I mean, it is and isn't. I can navigate. I mean, I'm the best person to not want to sit with that end up loving on an airplane.
Right. I can see that. You're like, I just wanted to watch Game of Thrones, but instead I have this marketing consultant next to me who's so curious. He keeps asking me to talk about myself.
And I ask questions. See, when you have you enough, yeah. There's a concept called universal intelligence. You know what that is? Mm-hmm. I think the metaphor is the 100th monkey. You know what that is? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, if you've done enough different industries worldwide, enough different personality types, extricated people from enough Gordian knots, there's very little that even if you've never been in an industry that you can't extrapolate. But if you ask questions of somebody deeper, better, more connective and evident that you already know what's coming next and no one's ever done that, it blows their mind.
Yeah, that would because it's just a different reality. And that's been my experience. What about someone who's listening? You're saying, all right, so Dave, you know, you're some entrepreneur guy and you're talking to this top business consultant who's completely inaccessible to me. Where does someone just getting going in their career, how do they get access to understand what's going on in the kind of world that you live in?
Well, I mean, I started very basic and we started by trying to teach a fundamental belief system and a methodology. And over the years, I've gotten to the point where I'm older and I'm more legacy oriented. I still like companies that have enough assets in play that I can really leverage. But we want to be the greatest benefactors to entrepreneurship and entrepreneurialdom there are. So we have something very interesting. We have a site, it's abraham.com, but on that site is a sub-site. It's called 50 Shades of Jay, and I think it's got 1,000 it's got 1,000 hours and probably 20,000 pages. And not only does it not sell anything, but it doesn't even ask for an opt-in. And our perspective is if we know a lot of people will never be able to afford us, and maybe won't want to, but we can afford to invest in every entrepreneur that wants to be preeminent, that wants to be a true value creator, that wants to multiply the performance and the quality of their team, that wants to add more connectivity. So we give away, oh, actually buy, I don't want to say give away because I think free is diminished. We give people, at my expense, programs that are frankly not being arrogant, but they're better than most people sell for thousands of dollars. They don't sell anything. They don't ask for, and anybody can go to abraham.com. I think it's /50 shades, and you can have a field day because there's ideological, philosophical stuff. There's very granular stuff. There's interviews with people like Tony and you. We did one set where I thought everyone should be more childlike. So we sent out, I think, 25 YouTube video musicals from Disney movies, because I said, you can't be great if you don't let yourself be vulnerable. You can't be vulnerable if you don't let some of your childlike innocence free. But we do all kinds of wild things that are very, I think worldview is something most people don't allow themselves to constantly enrich, expand, and nourish.
And so, number one, the name 50 Shades of Jay is hilarious. I love that.
It is pretty funny, but it's not. There's nothing dirty on it.
No, so but it's just what a great riff. Like it's completely good.
Oh, it's marketing. Hilarious. Every time we put them out erratically, and every one has got a little different shade of gray in it, and it's hilarious. It's very funny.
The other thing that's unique. I know a lot of people who sell information online, and like you said, thousands of dollars to buy my videos, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't do that. That's not part of my business. I like you, believe it's better that people have the knowledge. I'd rather give it away, and then they'll purchase something at the right time, or they won't. But I was pretty blown away when you're like, oh, I found out people are copying my expensive program, so like, I'll sell them a hard drive. Yeah. That is everything I've ever done on it for basically the cost of the hard drive and shipping and some nominal amount.
Yeah, we do. We changed our whole status. We said, I don't want to compete with a bunch of interlopers or superficial, self-anointed people that are dangerous to people's wealth. I'd rather, we see ourselves as massive investors in the quality of entrepreneurs and in the future of just capitalism. And that we see we can help people who probably don't realize how much more is possible for themselves. And we try to do it. And I still love high paying 6-7 figure clients. And I love deals I can get involved in, but most of the time, most people, we invest in them without any reciprocal expect. It comes back.
It sure does. Now, Jay, our final question in interviews.
Sounds like Jeopardy. Okay. Yeah. You're going to put all your money up now.
Here you go. If someone came to you tomorrow and they said, look, Jay, based on all this stuff you know, all this stuff you've lived, I want to be better at everything I do. What are the three most important things that I need to know? What would you tell them? Your most important advice?
Passion, purpose, possibility.
All right. You got to tell me a little bit more than what does each of those things mean.
You got to be passionate about not just what you do, but who you do it for. You got to fall in love. If you don't like what you do, who you do it for, and that's a duality. It can be in who you do it for as your employer or who you do it for as your marketplace, you shouldn't be doing it. Purpose means if you're just trying to make money without, I mean, there, I have a very dear friend of mine wrote a thesis, he said, you're either a multiplier or a diminisher, whether you're an entrepreneur, a business leader, manager or an employee. You're either making people greater, you're adding value societally, you're improving you know, performance, humanity, whatever, or you're taking or you're sucking oxygen out of the environment philosophically and metaphorically. So I think you got to be doing something that has, you got to be on a crusade or a mission and see your role. We've done this with your people. You got to see that no matter what you do in a business, you have to be the leader to have relevancy and have a connectivity that you make a difference in the fulfillment of a meaningful product service. And one of the things I think most people are scared, I don't want to say a bad word, but they're scared to go into another field, which is tragic. I mean, spending a life, you know, that quote about quiet desperation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's you have to have passion. You have to have purpose. And then when you are fortunate, as I've been, to see how much more is possible from everything, time, effort, connectivity, capital, interaction, relationships, resources, you've got to question and believe that you have not come close to capitalizing, optimizing all elements of your business life, your career, and your personal life. And I think if you get those three in alignment, you're pretty fortunate.
I'll say it's a challenge to get those in alignment, but I like that advice.
Okay. See, now can I ask you a question?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Did I give you the kind of interview you want, or was it all over the place and diffused?
I think you answered all the questions, Jay. You're always someone who's willing to share what you think about it and then go where your mind takes you, which is why sometimes I feel like you're downloading stuff when you're talking, like it's just coming together right as you're saying it, which is really cool. So it's very authentic. No, I would say you answered all the questions and you were clear. You weren't all over the place. So nice.
Well, I hope I added value. One of the most important things people, your goal in life, I learned this from Fran Tarkenton, who's a friend of mine, who he's the NFL Hall of Fame quarterback who lost two times in Super Bowl in front of like 50 million people, which is a lot worse than losing face in front of one person. And he had a business reversal that was quite profound. And he came back with a renewed attitude that said, every time you interact with any person for any reason, for any amount of time, your job, your goal, your moral responsibility, your opportunity, your privilege is to make that person better off because you were in their life. And it's a wonderful, I'm not trying to be raw, I'm not rah, rah positive thinking. I just have learned that there's a lot of integrative forces and factors and elements one has to integrate to really get the maximum out of a life or a business or a career. That's it.
It's very well said, and it sounds almost cliche, Jay, where there's, there's a time in my life when I was more of an engineer, I would have rolled my eyes and be like, really? Like, that's not really how it works, but my life experience is that that's actually how it is. And I was just young and arrogant and angry, and I am none of those things anymore, so.
Happy-go-lucky, Dave.
Awesome.
Well, Jay, hi-ho, hi-ho.
Thanks for being on Bulletproof Radio, and thanks for all of your advice and your friendship as well. And I look forward to seeing you at Tony's event and having a chance to hang out.
What an honor. Thank you for allowing me to take up opportunity cost to your audience. I'm privileged.
I'm sure that you delivered value. And
when it's all done, you know, did you make a difference? And you don't have to be, I mean, you're very fortunate. You're influencing, as you say, millions of people, but every human being influences some people. Yeah. Did you make a difference? Did you add value? Did you make lives better off because you were in them? And that's the real question.
And that's what keeps me satisfied and happy, is just knowing that I'm making that difference. And again, that sounds cliche and all that, but I got to tell you, if you're listening to this and that sounds cliche to you, it's because whatever you're doing isn't making a difference. Because if it was, you'd know what I was talking about.
It was well said, and you are making a difference. And just as an aside, as an acknowledgement, I have had numerous very open discussions with you about a lot of issues, and I can tell anyone watching or listening that your motives are their best interest. Your commitment is their elevated performance and richness of life, and that you're fanatic for them, not for yourself. And you're very humble and very down to earth and very gracious and very authentic. And it's important that people know that.
Oh, thanks, Jay. Well, on that wonderful note, we should end the show, and I'll let you get on to your next meeting. If you enjoy the show, you're listening, there's a way you can say thanks, because there's several ways. One is just go to iTunes and give us the 5-star review. We're past 1,500 reviews, and every time you do that, you're telling other people that the show is worth their time as well, and that actually I'm not a mass murderer. And,
good.
And while you're at it, you can head on over to Jay's website, abraham.com/50shades. And there's no affiliate tracking codes or any of that. That's just the link for all of this free stuff.
Yeah, just 50, yeah. The number
50 shades.
It's got a lot of valuable contribution without any expectation. They would enjoy it.
And there's no email harvest. It's just free info that Jay's put together over his life. And it's a site that I've certainly used and something that might be of benefit to you. And hey, it's absolutely free. So you could check that out. That's abraham.com/50shades. And iTunes, give us a 5-star review. And if you're still feeling in that giving spirit after this powerful interview, you can always go on over to orderheadstrong.com and pre-order your copy of the new book. When you order it before it comes out, it means a lot more to me. It helps me work with my publishers and with the marketing people to get the highest positive impact. So if you're going to order it anyway, please do it now. Thank you.
The Human Upgrade, formerly Bulletproof Radio, was created and is hosted by Dave Asprey. The information contained in this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purposes of diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Before using any products referenced on the podcast, consult with your healthcare provider, carefully read all labels, and heed all directions and cautions that accompany the products. Information found or received through the podcast should not be used in place of a consultation or advice from a healthcare provider. If you suspect you have a medical problem or should you have any healthcare questions, please promptly call or see your healthcare provider. This podcast, including Dave Asprey and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. This podcast may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products or services. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is owned by Bulletproof Media.